Good to see all of y'all. And Heather and Emma are still with us for a few more days, so it's a blessing they're here too. Let's open up. We're going to start Sunday school here. Now we're doing something a little different because of what we started last week. If you will, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 real fast, and let me give you a little bit of a orientation if you weren't here the last couple weeks. You know what? Brother Thu has one of the Bibles we're going to be working from. Somebody want to go grab that from him since he's not in here yet? There you go, Aaron. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Y'all are familiar with it. Most can quote it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, all scripture is given by inspiration. So let's have a word of prayer real quick. Father, we thank you for giving us a chance to go through this as just a whole body of a church, Father. And a lot of folks know these things in part. Some have never actually sat down with two different versions side by side to realize just how very different they are and how the changes in the new versions have just messed things up in an extraordinary way. I pray that you might please bless as we go through this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Now, so last week, you know, this can go for weeks and weeks and weeks if you're going to be dealing with, new version stuff and all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Well, we started last week because most people haven't done it, is a comparison of the King James Bible. It's in a league of its own, okay? It's in a league of its own because it comes from a different family of manuscripts. The manuscripts the new Bibles come from, all of them in the main, are corrupt manuscripts that have been influenced by wicked, heretical men going way back to the 2nd and 3rd century, okay? Most folks don't know the differences. We saw some of them last week. We're going to continue that. And again, most folks, I mean, it'd be good if everybody just took a year and took the King James Bible and put it on the table besides an NIV or an NASV or something like that and just read through the whole Bible, both of them at the same time, noting the differences. I promise you, you would be converted if you would do that. I know that's a lot to ask, but it's not too much to ask for one chapter somewhere or to go through this with us here to just see all the things that are changed. The statement that the new versions don't really change anything in the Bible is stupid and ignorant. If you've never seen it, you just don't know, just don't talk. If you've never gone and looked, if you've never studied it yourself, don't talk about it. Because it's stupid to say that. Now, I got four versions here this morning, right? The four versions that we're back up on. We went all the way through 2 Corinthians last time, and you know, I'm going through and hitting a handful of places, folks. These are kind of the highlights, but I'm telling you, there are tens of thousands of places in the New Testament alone. Okay, there are 7,700 plus verses in the New Testament of the Word of God, and something like 15% have been affected by omissions. That is, some parts, 15% of all the scriptures in the New Testament have had things taken out of them. Now, that's not the things that have been added to or just the things that are changed. I'm talking about just scriptures just completely taken out. That affects close to 15% of every verse in the New Testament. So, you know, that ought to shake your tree a little bit, and then you're going to see some of the changes too. All right, guys, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And again, we'll talk more about the nature of these things as we go. But Ephesians chapter 3, by nature, this has to be hit and miss because we just don't have time to go through the 7,700 verses of the New Testament. We can't do that. But you can do more if you want to, and you really should to prove it to yourself. Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, I'm going to read verse 9, fellas, and then each of these guys will read the important part. So, verse 9 of Ephesians chapter 3, this is God's will, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, I'll just have you guys go ahead and read the whole verse kind of slowly so folks can pick up what was changed. Okay, who's got the first one? Caleb, go ahead. Okay, there's a couple things changed there. That first part about something about the ministry of the ministry or something like that. Administration of the ministry. Well, it says mystery, doesn't it? Now, that's the first thing, but that's not the main thing. Did you notice what was missing altogether? The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now, why leave that out? Who in his right mind would leave that out? Okay. Who's my next guy? I've lost track of who I gave. Brother Jeff, would you? What are you reading, by the way? Okay. What did you have, Caleb? Okay, cool. But nothing about Jesus Christ. How about who's my next? Aaron. No, by Jesus Christ. Why leave that out? Do you want a Bible that leaves that out, really? How about you, David? All right, good enough, but let's just see if they, you know, maybe they just made a mistake. Maybe they just overlooked something, okay? So verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. David, go ahead and start. Twice in the same passage within five verses. The Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't put in the Lord. Didn't even put in Christ. Didn't even put in Jesus. Took out the Lord Jesus Christ. What's wrong with this picture, Brother Aaron? Well, that's succinct. Left out some, didn't he, Brother Jeff? No, Lord Jesus Christ. Caleb? Okay. So don't tell me it doesn't change anything. Right, Brother Bryce? Because it comes from the right text. See, all the new versions. Now, I'll tell you this. The New King James is in a slightly different family. It's not good. It's still corrupt. I'm telling you this right now. The New King James is corrupt. But it does not tend to change what all the rest of the versions tend to change. What you're going to find is that whether, you know, all these versions we're reading here, let's say Good News, New American Standard, NIV, and New Century, is that what you got? I have the English Standard at home and the International Standard and a few others on computer. I didn't bring those just because it's a pain. But those Bibles all, roughly speaking, change the very same verses in the very same places. They may rephrase something differently or something like that, but in the main, all the new versions change the same stuff. And I'm talking 20,000 plus changes. Like I said, the New King James is corrupt in its own right, but it was translated from the same family of texts that the King James was translated from, only they messed it up. So it's changed in slightly different places. You kind of have to treat it kind of by itself, and we don't have time to do that this morning, but it's not better, and it's not acceptable, you know, more acceptable than an NASV or something like that. All right, real quick, keep going. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. Ephesians 5, 9. Now, like I said, we can go all day on this and all week and weeks and weeks and weeks, and we can't do it. So we're taking last week and this week to cover as much as we can. I'm hoping enough curiosity will set in for you if you've never done it. I wish you just wouldn't take my word for it. In some ways, I wish you would, because, you know, failing to have the time to study it. You know, I'm not teaching you wrong on this, but on the other hand, with a little time, you need to go sit with a King James Bible on your lap or on a table and put something else beside it to prove that I am not just fluffing you, picking out 37 verses and just giving you, you know, the 37 that are changed, and I'm trying to misrepresent this thing. I'm not trying to do that, and you need to prove it to yourself. Study to show thyself approved. Just, if you're not scared of a desk, sit down at a desk and spend 35 minutes a day for just a little while, for a week, just to prove to yourself that, boy, if you're going through Proverbs in a new version, it is not the same as the King James. It is not. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. 5:9, it reads, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." The fruit of the Spirit, I have a capital S Spirit there, but what does yours say, Aaron? The fruit of the light. I know you can make biblical, prophetic, doctrinal connections between the Spirit and light, but the Spirit is not light. It's not the same word. It's a mistranslation. It's a mistranslation because they messed it up. Brother David? Light. Brother Jeff? But no truth? Okay, it does say truth. Okay, how about you, Brother Caleb? The fruit of the light. Okay. So, it's not the same. They changed the Bible. Don't tell me they didn't change the Bible. And don't tell me that light is the same as spirit, because it's not. No. Right. So you have a capitalized spirit showing you it's the Holy Spirit. They didn't bother to capitalize the light. So maybe it's not even talking about the spirit. Maybe it's just talking about a 100-watt bulb, for all you know. All right, 5:30. This is a critical verse. It's a key to marriage. When two people get married, they join their bodies together and they become one in God's sight. That's why a breakup is so painful. And the reason the Lord set it up that way is because when you trust Christ as your Savior, you become one with Him. Aaron, did you have something? So they're saying that that light is Satan. Whoa, how about that? That's in the notes. That's not in the actual scriptures themselves. Okay, how about this? And down in verse 30, I said what I said because of this. For we Christians are members of His body. Not just talking about the local church, but spiritually, when you trusted Christ, you were put into the body of Christ. You're members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. Caleb?
Because we are members of His body.
Period. But no flesh and no bones. How about you, Jeff?
For we are members of His body.
That's it. All right. Aaron? And Brother David?
We are parts of His body.
We are parts. That's, a wart is a part. But a wart's not a member. I mean, your little finger's a member, your little toe's a member, but a wart's not a member. So a mole's not a member. You say, what's the point? Well, there's a difference. But just leaving out flesh and bone is not real good. Look in Philippians chapter 3. You think highly of yourself? Philippians 3:21. You shouldn't, especially this flesh you're parading around in. It says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, who... talking about Jesus Christ, shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Brother David?
By His power, through all things, will change our simple body and make them like His own glorious body.
Our simple body. It says here in the Bible, it says that your body's vile. Now, if you don't believe that, I'm sorry, but, you sit around for 3 days and you're going to stink, okay, without a shower, right? When you get real sick and can't take care of yourself, the vile catches up to you real fast. If you get an infection and blood flow is not right, your whatever member is infected is going to rot off of your body and kill you. your body's vile. It breeds worms. If I bury you in a blanket, after you're dead, of course, in the ground outside, within 3 or 4 days, you got worms crawling out all of your orifices. Okay, your body's vile. But no, it's just simple. Is that the same? Aaron. Lowly. It's lowly, all right, but that doesn't quite cover it. Jeff. Okay, but not vile. We don't want to think too lowly of ourselves. You know what I'm saying? I'm ugly and my flesh stinks after 3 days, but it's not vile. My smell is better than your smell. Caleb. Oh, yeah, that's a tolerant way to place it. Amen. All right, it's not the same. Look, if you will, in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. And like I said, there's an awful lot in these books that we could cover, and this is really just highlights. Colossians 1:14, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. David? What's missing? No blood. Now, do you really want a Bible that takes out the Lord Jesus Christ as often as it can and then leaves the blood out of Colossians 1:14? How about you, Aaron?
No blood, no Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, that's the NIV, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, Brother Jeff? No blood. How about you, Caleb? Listen, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Colossians 3 says that you're supposed to place your faith in the blood of Christ to wash your sins away. Okay? They remove the thing that you're supposed to place your faith in. You want a Bible like that? How about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Skipping a lot. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and go down to verse 8. Prophesying for the future, great tribulation period will be gone, but there's going to be a man arise. He's the son of perdition. And it says in verse 8, then shall that capital W wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That capital W, wicked, is the Antichrist, okay? Caleb? Lawless one. Now, importantly, if you track wicked through the Bible, you find all kinds of times in Psalms, say, for instance, and Proverbs, where the wicked can be doubly, not just the overall wicked, but it can be doubly applied to the Antichrist. So by changing wicked to something else, it's broken that chain of words, so you can't compare spiritual things with spiritual. So you can't compare the Bible's words with Bible words. See, when they change the language, it's not just an issue of omission or adding to, it's an issue of changing. When they change the vocabulary, they break chains that are directing you through the Bible to study something. The Lord flags stuff. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He flags stuff for you to learn by the words that he uses. You start changing those words and all of a sudden you're out in the middle of nowhere. Okay, 2:8, who are we with here? I forgot where I started. Aaron, is it you that's up?
Lawless.
Jeff? Okay, some do. Caleb? Lawless one. Okay, they're all lawless. Did I miss you, David? I'm sorry. Oh, man of evil. Okay. But it still broke the chain. You still can't study the wicked from Psalms and Proverbs with an enlightenment that in the New Testament, the wicked shows up one day as an incarnate man, just as the righteous showed up as an incarnate man, Jesus Christ. The wicked shows up as an incarnate man, the Antichrist. And so you remove that, and where are you? Well, somewhere short of where you're supposed to be. Okay? That's the issue. All right, chapter 3, verse 2. Bible talks about you need to get away from some folks, okay? It says in verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Here's Paul. He says, God help us. God keep us away from unreasonable men. Caleb? Okay. But not unreasonable. Perverse, well, that's really bad. And evil, oh, that's really bad. But unreasonable in a new version, we're probably all a little unreasonable sometimes. It's excusable. How about you, Jeff? Okay, wicked and evil. No unreasonable. How about you, Aaron? No unreasonable, Brother David. Oh. So what do you do with the unreasonable? Oh, they're fine. They're fine. Except in the King James. Now, don't tell me you wind up in the same place with those two versions. Don't tell me you do, because you don't. All right, First Timothy. Let me take you back a few pages. Sorry about that. First Timothy. No, I didn't. I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I skip forward in my own notes here. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, this is critical. Now watch this. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now what does it say? God was manifest in the flesh. Now don't misunderstand, you can draw from the rest of the scriptures that Jesus Christ came to this earth, God, and lived as a man. You can draw that from other places, but here it is just brutally straightforward, right? God was manifest in the flesh. Can't get any plainer than that. You can't even argue with that. Right? Caleb? He who? Who? He? Who's he? Well, I know that with the right, it's Jesus Christ, but hey, I was manifest in the flesh. He who can be anybody. How about you, Jeff? A religion. Great. And then he showed up in human form. He, who? Well, that could be the Antichrist. He shows up in human form one day. Who's he? How about you, Aaron? He. Who did? Well, the King James Bible, God did. But not in the new ones. How about you, David? Oh, good. He was shown. Okay. Now, really, do you want that Bible? Want any of those? Going to go spend 25, 30, 40, 50 bucks, depending on your leather cover or non-leather cover, on a piece of junk like that? It should be used in the bathroom for toilet paper backup. You say, you shouldn't say that. What should I say? It's junk. It's junk. It's a lie. Look in, if your Bible, if you will, to chapter 6, 1 Timothy 6:20. 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Brother David? Okay, science is removed. For your information, science shows up twice in the Word of God. Once it shows up here, warning you about a certain kind of science. In Daniel, it shows up as a word that is a science to be adhered to and to be aspired to, because the Hebrew children were knowledgeable in science 10 times better than the Chaldeans, magicians, and sorcerers. Okay? So that one shows you the right kind of science. This one shows you the wrong kind of science. And since today everybody's carried away with the science of things, we're just following the science. Make sure to take science out. How about you, Brother Aaron? Knowledge. Falsely called knowledge. No, it's science. Think about this. I don't know that anybody called anything science back in you know, back in 30 AD or 40 AD. For all I know, they didn't even use the word science the way we use it. Today, you can't walk a single day in this life without hearing about science, science, science. And the fact is, a bunch of it's junk. The evolution part is junk. And there's a lot of other stuff that they try to sell us in the name of science. I learned just last week, again, that coffee is once again health food. Fine by me, but last month it was going to kill you. It's poison. They keep changing it. That's not science. That's science falsely so-called. But I'm just going to believe the ones that say that coffee's good for you. Okay. All right, Brother Jeff. Yep, knowledge. Brother Caleb? Knowledge. So science is removed from the New Testament of the new versions so that you wouldn't be alerted when somebody says, now science says, and if you're a Bible believer, you go, wonder what's coming. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But to somebody who doesn't have a Bible, they're not forewarned. And so science, science, science. Oh, yes, let's worship the scientists. Dr. Fauci's got the truth. How about 2 Timothy chapter 1? You like what the Lord Jesus Christ delivered you when you got saved? 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, you're going to have to work at it, but that's part of the victory that you have if you will aspire to it. Caleb? There's a couple of changes there. The spirit of fear versus the spirit of timidity. Let me ask you a question. Is timidity an easier word than fear? I'm scared. Does your three-year-old know the word timid? Oh, Daddy, I'm timid. It's not the same. And a sound mind is not the same as, was it discipline? A sound mind is not the same as disciplined. There's a bunch of crazies that are disciplined. Jeff. Oh, self-control. There's lots of folks that are self-controlled that are crazy. Thank you very much. That went across like a lead balloon. I think that you know somebody. How about you, Aaron? Okay. David? Self-control. Okay. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Okay. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Two just watchwords there. What do they do with study? Because this is the only verse in the Bible that teaches you to study your Bible and other things. It does say study to be quiet, by the way. I don't know what they do with that one. But study to show thyself approved unto God. And notice the second thing, rightly dividing the word of truth. How about you, David? Oh, okay. No study. And he uses the teaching in a right way. No division. The key to the Bible is division. Light from darkness, day from night, black from white, right from wrong, right? So no division, and there's no word of truth in there either, I don't think. How about you, Aaron? I just did my best. Did you study? I did my best. It's not the same. How about you, Jeff? I'm sorry, I did my best. How about you, Caleb? No right division, handling accurately, and nobody's studying. Nobody's studying. Are you studying? See, you have a commandment to study. They don't even have a commandment to study. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, this is a list, and the new versions really mess up lists, okay? So I'm not going to go through and comment much, but let me just read. You just follow along when these guys read after me. Verse 3. Okay, without natural affection, prophesying of our day today and forward. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Brother Caleb? No, not yet. Taking all I can take. It's not the same list. They're changing words. How would you pursue their words in the Bible? See, in my Bible, I have these words, and I can pursue those words through the rest of the Scriptures because they haven't changed them. Jeff, verse 3, all of it. Okay, did you see anything about incontinence in there? For instance, incontinence is an inability to control yourself. Okay, I know it's applied to people that need depends and stuff like that, but on a broader character scale, somebody that doesn't control themselves. That's not even in that list, even rephrased. Brother Aaron. Okay, just picking one. Not lovers of the good. That's not the same as despisers of those that are good. That's not the same. Brother David. Will not love others, will refuse. They will hate what is good, but they're not despising those that are. That's leaving you susceptible to misthinking that they won't hate you if you do good. All right, let's just continue. Verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. David. Okay, heady, high-minded. That's a haughty intellectuality. That's me thinking I'm smarter than you. That's condescension. That wasn't in what he read. Aaron? Kind of close, okay. Brother Jeff? Okay. And Caleb? Okay, kind of close, but still not the same. Watch this. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3:10. Now, I got to make a decision here in just one second, okay? Titus 3:10. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. So you've already seen that you're supposed to stay away from unreasonable men and that Paul prayed that he could be delivered from them. Now, somebody that's a heretic, I mean somebody that's grossly wrong in doctrine, right? You deal with them how many times? You admonish them how many times? Twice. And then call it a day. Right? You're justified to not continue to go back and take the verbal beating trying to reason with this guy. I mean, a heretic who's not listening and won't learn, after twice, you're justified to walk away. And frankly, sometimes you should. There's no need to spend 3 hours talking to a guy that never listened for 5 minutes. Okay? All right. New versions. Caleb. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what a heretic is? Would you have known what a factious man was? Does your 7-year-old know what a factious man is? Is that simpler? It might be. Factious, as in a faction. So they make a more complicated word as opposed to a simpler word that everybody basically knows what it means, right? Brother Jeff. Oh, boy. Did you know some division is good? You know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ? I think it's John 7. There was a division among the people because of him. Well, somebody should have taken Jesus Christ aside and set him straight. But no, Jesus wasn't a heretic. It removed the word heretic. Aaron. So division's the real enemy. It's not false doctrine. It's not heresy. Division is the real enemy. Now, if you're trying to build unity, and you can build unity around doctrine, and everybody's on the same page in rough terms, 95-98% terms, that's great. But boy, one guy steps up and he's teaching heresy. Okay, look, bud, you got to square this away, right? That's not the sense of what he said. David? Paul caused arguments. Jesus Christ called arguments. What did it say? They went and disputed in the synagogues all the time. How can you even obey that? Right? But they've made arguing the enemy, contention the enemy, rather than the heresy, the false doctrine. Okay? Hebrews 1. Every time they get a chance, they'll take a slap at Jesus Christ. Verse 3, and you'll notice that in verse 2 that it's his speaking of his son, Christ. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, God's glory, the express image of his person, Christ is the image of God. Adam lost the image of God when he fell. Christ is the image of God. And so when you got saved, God gave you back the spiritual image of God. So you have that now. But the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, a lot in this verse, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Okay, Caleb, slowly. Go study image in the Bible. Christ is the image of God. He restored the image of God to you through his work on the cross. He is not a, what is it, a representation? Okay, but then following. Go ahead. In your Bible, how did Christ purge your sins? By himself. Is that what it says in your Bible? By himself. Okay? All by himself. Fought the fight. I mean, God was with him. Fought the fight alone. Nobody else had a part. Right? By himself. They took that out. Listen, the reason you can go to him and him alone and have to is because he did it by himself. So you're responsible to him alone, by himself. And they'll remove that so that, you know, it's not just him. Jeff. Doesn't say by himself. Aaron? Okay. David? And no by himself. So he didn't, in the new versions, he didn't purge your sins by himself. Do you want that book? You're going to be a sucker enough to spend money on that book? You have to answer the question. All right. Getting tied up here on time. Look in Hebrews 2:10. Okay, for it became him, again talking about Christ, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect. I'm only looking for the captain of their salvation, guys, to make things simpler. David. He's not a captain. Not a captain. How about you, Aaron? Not a captain. Brother Jeff? Oh, he leads. He's not a captain. Caleb. Okay, that's another verse, but no captain. How about 10:34? Hebrews 10:34. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have an in heaven a better and an enduring substance. I'm just looking for in heaven, guys. Caleb? But it's not in heaven. In heaven's gone. The Bible says, lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. So, I mean, our affections are set on things above, not on things of the earth. We're supposed to be thinking about heaven, not Joe Biden. So, when the Bible takes out heaven, where does that leave you? Jeff? But doesn't tell you where it's at. Aaron? David? Okay, so you've got it. You got something. It's somewhere, but nobody knows where it's at. You want that Bible? Okay, I got to make a decision here about how much more of this we do, because otherwise it stretches to another week, which maybe it's what we should do. I don't know. Y'all enjoying it or not? Is it helpful or not? Okay, how about James 5? James 5. James 5. And go down to verse 16. Watch this. Okay, confess your faults one to another. Now, there's no confessional booth in that, right? It's me and you as brothers. I mean, brother, I'm having a problem with this. I ask you to pray for me. Happens all the time, right, amongst us. We're not confessing, yesterday, Father, I forgot to say thank you to my mom, and so I'm confessing my sins. No, this is confessing faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. David.
Confess your sins.
Whoa! You're supposed to confess your sins to Jesus Christ. You're supposed to confess your sins to God. He's your advocate. You don't have to confess your sin. Don't confess your sins to a priest. And beyond, you don't need to confess your sins to each other. If you need to say, I'm sorry, say I'm sorry and mean it. But as far as confessing your sins, how about you, Aaron? Mm-hmm. The Roman Catholic Church runs to this verse as fast as they can get here, because this supports auricular confession in a little telephone booth with a priest on the other side. And that's wrong. Yes, sir. Caleb. Mm-hmm. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 4. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Now, I'll just stop it there. Tell me what's missing in Caleb's Bible. Go ahead and read it so we can hear it. Okay. But no, for us? What's his sufferings for? Jeff? But not for us. Aaron? And David? Not for us. Aren't you glad he suffered for you? Don't you think it's a good idea to keep that in there as often as you can? I mean, you're responsible for his suffering. Oh, okay, Revelation chapter 1. I'm skipping an awful lot here. Revelation 1. Okay, just now, this is one we can... Don't have many left this morning. I can finish the New Testament. We'll do a little old next time. But just follow me through in verse 5 and 6. Just follow the progression. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, there's a lot in there. So I'm telling you, they mess up lists really bad. David, 5 and 6 together slowly. Not a prince. Not a prince. Okay, let's go back. End of verse 5. Unto him that loved us and did what?
Made us free.
See, you don't really need the blood. You're made free. MacArthur taught that you're made free by the death of Christ and that the physical blood had nothing to do with it. No, you need the blood. You're washed in the blood. That's removed in the New Bibles, generally across the board. Now, there's more. He hath made us, in verse 6, kings and priests, not a kingdom of priests. Right, David? And read the rest of verse 6 then. Okay. Power is not the same as dominion, just for what it's worth. Aaron, all of 5 and 6. No prince. No washing, no blood. You're made kings, not a kingdom. You're made kings, right? Brother Jeff? Death, not blood. See that? Verse 6, I'm sorry. Okay, dominion is not the same as power. Now, there's a lot changed there, so I'm not hitting everything, but I'm just saying, it's not the same. Brother Caleb. No washed. It's not the same. Right? See the difference? Okay, 4:11. 4:11. Okay. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Down at the end there, Caleb. No, for thy pleasure. You were created for God's pleasure, not for your own, for God's. And so they're going to change that because they're living for themselves. And the devil wants to teach you to live for you. And the devil wants the world to revolve around you. It doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around him. It's for his pleasure you were created. Brother Jeff. But no pleasure, and there are other things changing there that I'm not even hitting, right? Aaron.
By your will.
By your will. Well, we knew that, but not for his pleasure. You ought to be pleasing God with your life, not pleasing you with it. Brother David.
Everything existed and was made because you wanted it.
A great theological comment coming. Duh. All right, 5:14 real fast. 5:14. 5:14. And the four beasts said, Amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Caleb. He doesn't live forever and ever, apparently. See that? You want a Bible that takes that out? Really? But at the end there, Brother Jeff. But not him that liveth forever and ever. Aaron. No, forever and ever. David? No, no. Okay, how about this? 8:13. 8:13. Listen closely. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, David. We've gone from angels to eagles. Aaron. Eagles talk. Jeff. When did the Lord ever talk by an eagle in the Bible? It's stupid. Caleb. An eagle. Not an angel. An eagle. That's how an eagle talks. Revelation 20, verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Caleb. 29:29. Okay. Yeah. Fire came down from heaven, but not from God out of heaven. Who's responsible for burning the wicked in this last day? God is. Jeff? No God. Aaron? And David? Okay, one more. 20:12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. David? Not God. Aaron? No God. Jeff? No God. Caleb? Okay, so we got a little more to cover next week, and this finishes fine. I'm not going to stretch this into weeks and weeks, okay? I was going to finish covering the verses this week and then go into about 20 minutes of just the other things that make the King James right and the Bible that should be the one that you hold. And I can do that. You can do that long, which takes months and months and months and months, and you can just go into all kinds of depths, or you can do it real quick and canvas it. And since we're not Greekers and manuscript evidence people, you know, and all that, then we're not going to do all that. But I'll take one more week with it, so next week we'll finish this, and there's some Old Testament stuff you need to see. Aside from that, we good with the King James Bible? Amen. Amen. All right, let's take a break.